encounters. In Genesis 28, 11 through 17, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to preach to you out of God's Word, and then I'm going to talk to you out of the pastor's heart. And he lighted, this is Jacob, upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for pillars and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angel of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, unto thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, to in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's a tremendous promise. But we've got tremendous promises too. And God has made promises to us individually and to our church and to this ministry. Thank God for the promise of God. And I beheld and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again to this land. But I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. And Jacob waked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and knew it not. And he was afraid. And he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Now it seemed to Jacob that he simply happened upon a place because it was night. But during the night, God came to him, and the heavens opened to him. And God spoke to him and changed his life forever. Everybody say forever. You don't have a meeting with God without having that touch stay with you forever. You will never forget it. The thing that God does, it is forever. That's his word. His awesome response declared that he was in the house of God and at the gate of heaven and didn't even know it. Now, here's a good place to use the word awesome. We're a nation of extremes, aren't we? So we think hamburgers are awesome. And it's right upon us now. We're going to have a move of God where we're going to learn what the word awesome is for. In Genesis 32, Jacob had had another encounter with God. Remember, he wrestled all night with the angel. And he walked with a limp from that time. God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And before God changed his name, he required Jacob to confess, what is your name? And that's what the wrestling was really about, was to wrestle his name, the confession of his name, out of Jacob. If we can yield to the wrestling and just say what our name is, we can get another name. You have to know who you are before you can know how much you need God to change your name. There's nothing wrong with really being changed by God. It would be really good if some of us had transformations. I'll sign up for the first one. We may as well sign up. This is the day it's happening. These are the days that God is transforming lives. And then so in Genesis 35, 1 and 2, and God said to Jacob, arise and go to Bethel. This was over a period of time. Then he told him to go back to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee and when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. He thought Esau was going to do away with him because of the way he had mistreated him, but the Lord was with Jacob even in that. Aren't you glad that God's with us even in our pranks? Even when we deceive people, God still looks out for us. He's so absolutely merciful. I'm not preaching you ought to be a deceiver. I'm preaching no matter what you are, God is still there with you. And when you call on his name, he's going to get you out of that jam. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Then Jacob said to his household, now listen here just carefully, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments, because they're going back to the place where you had a meeting with God. And if we ever get again to the place, remember the last time you met with God. If you want to get back there and go on beyond, first of all, you've got to put away the gods you've accumulated in between time and change your garments. In other words, be ready for some changes. Isn't this what Sandra Kennedy said to us? That God first said to her, and then she's sharing that with us. We've got to get some of these distractions out of our lives. Please don't believe the lie of the world. You have to do this. You don't. You know, we used to say that weddings had to be a certain way, and they for years they were. But every time I officiate in one or go to one, I just see that they've made it all up over again. I went to one yesterday. It was beautiful, but there wasn't a wedding march. And all kinds of different things. And when the groom kissed the bride, because it was a Marine wedding, I heard, woo-hoo, or something like that. It actually startled me. And I thought, this is a very sedate place, but you can always do what that different thing is that you want to do for your wedding, it seems. Now, when the Lord's getting ready to do something, he's saying, hey, how about a change of garment? Let's do some things different. Because he's going to take you into another culture. You know, culture changes as the time goes on. And if we don't change, as God's going on with us, we're going to be left behind. I'm talking about some of the things that you've been involved in. You don't have to keep doing those. Well, you know, I feel like I have to, but you don't. And if you're willing to make some sacrifices and get your life by the neck and say, you're not running me, I'm running you. I had it out with my life many years back, and I said, I'm in charge here. I'm in charge of this thing called life, and you're not going to boss me around. I'm going to do what God says for me to do. So Bethel was the place where Jacob had the encounter with God in the beginning. And that changed his life. And Jacob's story can be told and understood through his various encounters with God. Every one of us has a spiritual history. You got some encounters. Some of you have more encounters. If you don't have any encounters, it's time you got some. And this is the place to have some. Because God is coming afresh and anew to encounter his people. Actually, he said to me prophetically as we were worshiping today, I am passing this way again. And I am bringing with me a newfound freedom and liberty for you. And I am changing you so that you can receive my changes and so that you can walk in this thing that I am giving you. It is not something you could have done. That's why I'm passing this way again. Jacob's story can be told and understood through his encounters with God. God called Jacob, and he promoted him, and he dealt with him, and he established him through encounters in his presence. Some people don't understand. We've got to have encounters with God. We've got to be a people of his presence, or we really don't have anything. Just church activity, just people coming together. Nice Christian social group. I want God. I want you with me. But I don't want just you and not God. Right. How many say that? I want you to say that. I want you to say to me, Pastor, I don't want you without God. I want you and God. And I want you with God. I want all of us with God. God told him to go back to Bethel and dwell there. Through all the experiences, he's prepared and fitted Jacob to be a man who now can dwell in Bethel in his presence. So the great lesson that Jacob had to learn was that God was for him and would give him the things that he kept trying to connive to get. Wanted him to have those things without his having to strive in the flesh. What he needed was to meet with God. And that's what we need. You can't Jesus said, by straining, striving, and spinning, you cannot change one hair on your head. Give it up. Come to me and let me do the things that need to be done. You know, I read after A.W. Tozer many years ago that man believes. Would you like to know? I just have to tell you things that are so amusing. My dragon, that's my dictating machine, first said, I read, hey, you're Tozer, many years ago. It's actually A.W. Tozer, many years ago, that man believes it's too good to be true that we can really be in the presence of God. Many churches, many people will never expect the presence of God to be in a place or be where they are. They will never expect to feel, to sense, to know the fragrance of God, to actually feel His compassion or His conviction. There are many people that don't expect that because it's never been preached to them. He used the scripture, Tozer did, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's one of the senses. Our senses are involved in our meetings with God. He means for us to experience Him and His manifest presence, which we call His glory. In times of revival, God allows us to experience Him in the way and to be changed, just as we saw Jacob was changed. When in the times when the Spirit of God is really moving, that's time God is going to change us. By the way, you're not always going to be the way you are. You're not even going to be the way you are very long. There's a lot of reasons that I have to believe that God's going to really start moving and shaking some things up. We try in so many ways to help people change, don't we? Or help ourselves change. Now, if we can do this, we have that program, blah, blah. I believe God wants us to do our very best to help people change. I'm just saying I've been doing this for 40-some years. And I've seen God do in 2 minutes what I've tried to do in somebody's life for 2 years or 2 decades. I just happen to know that it's God who can do these things. And we are not very successful. But simply being in His presence changes us. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, listen, and listen to it with a new understanding. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of God. The glory like we sensed in some of our meetings here just in the past few days. The glory was among us. And it says, in that glory we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, man was made to live in the glory of God. You see, Adam, he lived in the glory. He had the glory around him all the time. Didn't even know he was naked until he sinned against God. And then that glory covering changed. But Jesus, the last Adam, died to restore the glory back to us. And this is why we can never be content to just have church as usual. Because we were made for the glory. I remember once when I was a little kid, I was about 7, and I went to the altar because, I mean, there was really conviction there in my mother's Pentecostal church. And I remember crying and crying. I was so stirred. And the next day, I remember turning around to my classmate sitting behind me. And I said to her, I got saved last night. She said, saved from what? The world, and mostly we ourselves, don't really know what it is we need, and then when we have it, we're really not sure what we got. But I'm telling you right now, we got to be saved from ourselves. A little bit later, it took a while for me. I told you I was spiritually retarded. Only 20 years. So when I was 27... approximately, the Lord really did save me. Why do we chase after so many other things in the church when it's the glory that will satisfy every longing and meet every need? People are healed in the glory. I remember in 1980, as day after day we were in those prayer meetings, day after day, night after night, I had a few little likes. I had an elbow that bothered me some things like that. And I just noticed after a little while that every little pain or ache or thing out of order in my body that I had was completely gone, because it couldn't stay in all that glory. People are going to get healed in His presence and His glory. The more we have His presence and His glory, the more physical healing is going to be experienced. Repentance is natural in the glory. We had a man fly all the way from California, heard what God was doing here in the 1980 revival. He said, "I need repentance so bad." He was a pastor that was having affairs with other women. You do need repentance when that happens to you. And he couldn't find repentance. And he heard that people were repenting here. So he came here so that God would move on his heart and bring him to repentance. In the glory, you find repentance. I want you to know, if you find repentance, you found a precious thing. It's not anything negative. It's going to set you free from the things that are destroying you. The Holy Spirit has His way with us. And we are truly convicted and turned from destructive behavior. In the glory, we get a glimpse of the beauty of Jesus and yearn to serve Him out of love instead of, "I guess I ought to go. They say we should. We ain't been lately. I guess we ought to go." He takes out the heart of stone in His presence in the glory and gives us a heart of flesh, as the Old Testament said we would have. You ever tried to get your own heart to turn soft? Good luck. So Genesis 35:6 says, "So Jacob came to Luz, which is the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him, and he fled from the face of his brother. And Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and he was buried beneath Bethel under an oak tree," she was, "and the name of it was called Alon Barak. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan-Aram and blessed him. And God said, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. I've hung in here with you. I've had several encounters with you, and now here's one more. I'm going to see this thing through that I promised you. I'm going to keep coming to you until we finish the job. You know, the Lord said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." It's the most amazing thing, though. Esau was supposed to get the blessing. All the time, the Lord knew that the blessing was going to come to Jacob because he loved it. It's everything to love the blessing, church. When you see God moving, get with it. When the wind of God, when the breeze of God starts blowing, open up. Don't remember what it is you haven't done yet and what you left undone at home. It's the same old stuff you've been doing for years. Wouldn't you like something different? How about having a visitation, a meeting with God, see what He might do for you? "Be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins." Because our walk is a faith walk, and we are called to a supernatural realm of operation, we need encouragement from God. We need confirmation. We need to touch Him afresh and anew on an ongoing basis in order to sustain us. You can't sustain the work of the Spirit with the flesh. And we see this picture in Jacob's story. Now, Jacob went back to Bethel. God told him to. And there he remembered that in that place he saw the face of God and knew that their heaven was open to him. How many people on earth can say that about themselves? It's a tremendous thing. It's amazing how powerful memory is. God has given us this power. to keep us open to further visitations and encounters. I hope that you got John Kilpatrick's new book, because it gives insight about revival. There's a lot of books written on how to pray for revival, and these are the things that bring revival. But God has given him articulation to make you salivate and say, I want this. And to really know, to click into some things we have not understood about revival. And one thing people don't understand is that you can provide, you can build and supply an atmosphere for God to work in. The Lord told Kilpatrick, you have to build a house of prayer before you were ready for me to come in revival, because if you didn't do that first, then you wouldn't be able to sustain revival. See, what would happen if the Lord would pour out his revival spirit on people who are bored to death with prayer? They'd also be bored to death with revival in 2 or 3 weeks. Yes. They certainly would. And so he's working a capacity. That's why he's had us seeking him all these weeks, and we're feeling this shift that is happening. There's an atmosphere that has to be established. Like when we came in this morning, every now and then somebody tells me, you know, you sell these positive things, but you sit in the front. I see some of these things that happen in the back. I say, well, good. I'm glad I didn't see it. As I just feel so positive about what I don't see. As far as I know, when we came in this morning, people really wanted God. They were really worshiping in spirit and truth. Everybody around me was. Everybody that I could see was. But that's what I mean about creating an atmosphere. You've got to get in there and create that atmosphere. It doesn't just happen. It's not just dropped on you. But you have to respond to it. So Kilpatrick made this statement, we can draw from the well of our personal encounters. Now, you've had some measure of personal encounters with the Lord. That becomes a well for you to draw from. Now, hopefully I'm going to explain this. I'm going to quote now from John Kilpatrick. You cannot manufacture the experiences of revival, but you can remember your encounters in revival, the ones that you've had. It's remembering the testimony of what God has done that reminds you of who God is, that he can do it again, and it releases faith to believe for a greater outpouring in the future. Remembering, the power of remembering. See, this is what Jacob did. He remembered what God had done for him. Each time he remembered, he went back to Bethel, and he remembered what God had done for him there. And it caused that capacity to receive God's promise of the future to be even enlarged because of the memory he had of where he had met God before. While the winds of revival are blowing, you can have such encounters with God that you will have those moments to draw on the rest of your life. Now, what would be the purpose of just hanging around because some people seem to be getting blessed, but I'm really not? Well, the value in that is you're in the place where God is touching people, and you could very well be one of those. And when you feel that touch, God will give you something that you can take with you the rest of your life. That's the value. There are big encounters, still quoting, that will keep catapulting you forward, even when the wind is not blowing. You're not manufacturing anything. Listen, you are using the gift of memory to draw spiritual nutrients from your history of encounters with God. An encounter with God is a living thing, and it lives inside of you. And all it needs is just a little bit of stirring, just a little blowing on the coals, just a little, take a little time to allow God to remind you of that again. The next thing you know, you're beginning to believe him again. You're beginning to love him again. You're beginning to think he could do something in you, do something right here, right now for you. That's the power of memory. That's why in the Word of God, the Lord said again and again, remember. When we receive communion, do this in remembrance of me. The communion reminds us. I have to say, a very special feeling floods me when I take communion, because I'm so reminded again, I see him on the cross and what he did, and how he bled and how he died, and oh, how I love him when I do that. Recently, we've been hearing from various people who experienced revival with us or have had their lives changed. I'm talking about maybe people live in another city or whatever, through our conferences, in his presence through the years. And they're expressing their yearning to experience these things again because people are getting hungry for God again. It will draw them to return to this Bethel, where they were profoundly touched with God's presence. Some remember that's the last time I felt deeply touched by God. I remember Nick and Irene Welch. Nick used to pastor with me a number of years ago. And I remember one day I was out here. It was during the conference. And people had gathered around the altar, and God was meeting and blessing people so wonderfully. And they came out this door, and they were holding hands. If they ever saw me, they almost ran over me and still never saw me. And I saw that both of them were weeping. They had just had such a meeting with God. It made them also so in love with each other. And people will never, never, never forget those things, because it's a spiritual strength. It's a nutrient that you can go back to in your memory. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're being sentimental when you go back in your memories of revival. Now, you could be being sentimental when you tell the same story 15 times and go back into your childhood and we did this and we did that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the memory of when you met God and he did something that changed your life. So we're hearing these things coming from people. They're expressing their yearning to experience these things again. And it will draw them to return again and again. Some people do not have much spiritual history. And we need to start working on that dynamic experience that will sustain us through our lives, because we're going to need sustenance from God in the years ahead. It's time to quit saying, I'm just so dead, I'm just so dried, I'm this and that. Get in the presence of God. He is now moving and providing his Spirit to draw us back to himself. Give yourself to that. God doesn't want your life to be a meager spiritual experience. People have said to me such things as, the worship in the presence here is the only thing that satisfies the deep longing I've met with God. Someone said that to me during the conference. Another person said, I remember that wonderful atmosphere that we've had in conferences through the years. And it so pulls on my heart to experience it again. Another said, I remember a June, as I walked out of the sanctuary, this was a person here, I remembered how many June nights that I had walked out that door during conference and I could smell the honeysuckle. And as I walked out into the humid air, all that feeling of what God did for me in those meetings came back to me, and it made me covet to be in his presence again. You know one reason why the devil wants to keep you occupied with the media all the time? He's afraid you might remember something that will cause you to be hungry for God. And he wants to fill you with things that will never make you hungry for God, like some stupid sitcom or some other thing that takes you further and further away from God. When you have an encounter with God and you remember, it's the atmosphere, the feelings, the sensations, the sounds, the fragrance you remember. The emotions you felt then, you will feel again as you remember. This is why God instructs us again and again to remember the good things he's done. It stirs gratitude and faith and hope that he'll do it again for you. It reminds you of your relationship with God that is real. The sensations are not just meant to be exchanged during the encounter. They linger long after the moment has passed. a specific place or a prophetic word that changed your life. The Holy Spirit has a way of making one encounter become another encounter all over again through the power of memory. The Holy Spirit will refresh them over and over in your life. He does this to keep you hungry for more of His presence. I was thinking, now a couple of these things that I just now read you, I pulled from John Kilpatrick's book. So read that, and you will see that your thoughts about wanting to feel and experience and smell the fragrance of these things is not weird. Yeah. Right. That other existence, what's weird? Being stodgy when God's moving, that's weird. We need to give ourselves to sensing and smelling and feeling and knowing the presence of God, and you can take it with you. That's what I like. You know, when the Lord saved me on Buffalo Mountain in 1967, we were there with those 80 teenagers, Methodist young people. And that atmosphere, I could walk out on a morning and just see dew sparkling in the grass, especially if I were someplace in the mountains. That experience would all rush over me again. How was those dewdrops like diamonds shining in the grass that morning? And I thought God had painted the sky just for me. I thought that. I so felt I was His own. And He said, "You're mine and I'm yours and I want you forever to serve me." He saved me so completely. It doesn't ever had to be done again. And most of my life I didn't backslide. Most of it I front slid. And as we do that, we keep remembering what it was that God did and how wonderful it was. A couple of years later, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it seemed like I always had to leave my denominational church to get these things. I went to another mountain retreat And I just can remember there was a man playing an accordion. I always like an accordion. I mean, it's not when the moon hits your eye. It's not that kind of an accordion. But it's that kind of accordions that Pentecostal people used to play in churches. And there was such a tug on my heart at that time. I could remember my mother's Pentecostal church and how good I thought it would to be clean and free. But they prayed for me, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There was 12 inches or more of snow on the ground. And as I walked out the door, I thought that I could just see the mountaintops, and I thought, I can just jump from one to another. It'll be easy. Exhilaration in the Holy Ghost is marvelous. And so I didn't know what to do, so I became a holy roller. I laid down in the snow and I rolled, and then I made angels in the snow and bring your own angels kind of situation, you know. And the memory of that, the snow and the accordion and all that still, it will just trigger all of that. I really do have a wonderful, by God's grace, backlog of a spiritual history with God, and I draw on it again and again. You know, in New Zealand in 1985, I was just so wonderful how real Holy Ghost revival broke out there, and people just fell into each other's arms and repented, and they took me to Rotorua, where 150 pastors' wives were there. And who would have ever dreamed that those women from all over New Zealand would just fall in His presence and be so filled with repentance. And then I can remember walking to that meeting place, going through a place where it was boiling springs and mud-like stuff just boiling up. And seeing this old fellow that lived there, he said, "You like it here, do you? I like it myself. It's rather like living on a pudding." And as I remember back my experiences, it so draws me to remember how joyous that was, because I knew that I was there on assignment. And everybody I encountered would touch the reality of that, because the Spirit had made it so. You all remember, a lot of you remember the river in 1994 and how it broke out here and how you spent time on the floor and stuck against the wall, and how Jesus, several people said Jesus walked over to them where they were lying on the floor, healed deep emotional things. You will never forget those things, and neither can I, because for the first time, I felt that feeling that I didn't even know was real before. I thought it was possible people were making it up or they were emotional. You know, because I knew I was really saved and I hadn't felt it before. But you know what happened to me is I just became all electric. And when I got up to walk, it was like I was stepping my foot into an electric outlet each time I took a step. Like that. I said, "This is serious." And you know, the amazing thing would happen, and the Lord anointed me so that when I would pray for people, they just almost all would fall. And then wonderful things would happen in a lot of people's lives. But I saw something that when I would tell the story of how the Lord came to me and how He allowed me to have this power in my hands, that when I would pray for people, these things would happen. All I had to do was tell the story and remember it, and pew, it'd be there. The power of memory and the power of testimony. Do it again, Lord. You know, in Mozambique, I think I shared with you the time that I came back from the meeting where we had just, in one day, we had established a church. It was such an amazing thing. And as we rode home from that meeting in the dark with those kids, and oh, they ranged anywhere from 8 to teenagers, maybe that age. And then there was me in the back, riding in the back of this truck. And they had this way of singing that we wouldn't really call melodious to our ear. What do we know? I mean, if God comes, you know. And so, as we were riding back, these kids erupted into song. And it was so absolutely, there was so much power, there was so much joy in it. And you know, we haven't seen a lot in America of a whole lot of young people, I'm talking nationwide, really giving up their lives for God. I'm talking fully. This is all these young people wanted to do. And I just remember that, and looking up at the stars, it seemed that I could touch them. And the voices of those sincere young people that had led people to the Lord. And we'd birthed the church that night. And I said to myself, "Lord, if this is not heaven, it's so close I can hardly tell the difference." I'll never forget that feeling. I'll never forget that. It was so wonderful. So we forget His presence is everything, because it accomplishes everything we need and everything He's promised. You remember with me that Olin Griffing said that the spiritual atmosphere here is better than he'd experienced in years? You remember Brother Kilpatrick said there's a difference in the spiritual atmosphere than when I was here a couple of years ago. Do you remember that? I think that means there's a difference in the spiritual atmosphere. It has changed since the last time I was here, they're saying. And remember that Sandra told us that we must get the distractions out of our lives for what God wants to do. I was speaking with Augustine on the phone a few days ago, and he said, I want you to give a message to your church. I want you to tell them this, that the Lord wants to use them in healing now, not just the leaders, but he wants to give healing in your church to make the way for revival." And he said, "Tell them," I want to read it exactly, Get your righteousness up to date and in order so God can use you as one of those individuals he wants to work through. How hard is it to get your righteousness up to date? Those things that are questionable, get them out of the way. If you had your life too much immersed in the things of the world, withdraw yourself and get into the reality of the kingdom of God. Don't be just tossed around with every little thing that seems to be happening. Did you know, you'll look back in your life and you will observe that it's the times that God showed up that you remember. When he moved, so many things can happen in your life. But the only thing really worth remembering, and the thing where you chart your spiritual history, is when God touched you again. When you touch, and this is why, church, this is why we linger. This is why we don't get in a hurry in our worship. This is why when we see he's moving, like that morning with John Kilpatrick, where people stayed here forever as he was ministering, and after he left, nobody wanted to leave. People came from everywhere for this. Why were they going to leave now? I just want you to understand that one of the most spiritual things you can do is wait at a time like that. In that church building yesterday, in that wedding where John and I were married, and where we went to church there for a number of years, a very beautiful sanctuary. And I'm sitting there. Of course, I had already written this sermon at the time, so it's not fair. I really had inside information about what was going on. But I was just sitting there, and I thought, this is interesting. I can't remember one thing that happened here, except the day we came home from Buffalo Mountain, took over the service, shared our testimonies, and most of the church came to the altar to repent of their sins. I remember that day. I remember there were a couple of nice pastors that I liked, but I can't remember any sermons. Y'all try to remember one or two of my sermons, will you? And I said to myself as I sat there, you know, this is really deep, this thing that I'm going to preach tomorrow. I don't remember anything here except that wonderful experience when we came back from Buffalo Mountain. It is just written on my heart. And it affected some people in that church in the same way. And so I'm thinking this morning, that we want to set ourselves up for more encounters with God. And the way to set yourself up for that is, as Sandra shared. Now, by the way, Sandra was shooting from the hip. She was speaking from her heart. God's told her to make some changes. She told me what some of them are. In the process, she was humbled and dealt with about some things the Lord showed her. You won't get there carrying pride with you. Well, you know, I think I'm pretty good already. I don't know I need to do, really. But when you really need something and you realize that you don't have the power to reach into that, that's when you really need to touch God again. So the distractions, can we make up our minds to remove those distractions that so chew on our time and on our lives? And start changing those. And what about prayer? What if you really give yourself to spend some time every morning with the Lord in prayer and in the Word? Just make that change. Don't let the distractions, the phone ringing, the phone will always ring again. You can set it so it can take a message. If the doorbell rings, you don't have to answer it. They can come back later. You don't have to be a slave to all these things. Let's make some space and time now for God. Activities, we get so involved in them. You know, I do appreciate family. I appreciate having a family and all the things about it. But Ask God whether every single little thing that happens is what you're supposed to be a part of. And other things. What are other things there are that sort of draw you away? I'm talking about just taking time, you know. Activities, all these activities. Well, what's wrong with so-and-so? A lot of things, there's nothing wrong with it except it's taking you away from God. Olin talked to us about our priesthood. I appreciated that. And I want to tell you, those of you that got prayed for or received that message, you got something there that the enemy cannot take away from you. And you got an anointing to be a priest and to go into the holy place and be with God and change your identification from a person in the outer court to one who goes into the presence of God. See yourself that way. Jesus died for that. Don't forget all the day-to-day things in life that are really important about pleasing God. Don't forget to keep your tithing up to date. And if you're behind, catch it up. And the other thing is, remember, it's July. You know, it's funny, traditionally in churches, July is the worst month, and October is the best one. Isn't that interesting? But part of that is vacations, but I've never spent my tithe on things other than the tithe by God's great grace. I just want to encourage you, a little thing like that can stand in your way. So I'm going to agree, and I'm finished here, but I want to agree with something that John Kilpatrick said. He said, "My purpose on earth, and to which I have dedicated my life, is to be a custodian of the presence of God." And the Lord said to me when I read that, "This is what ails you. This is why you're not impressed with other things other than being in His presence, having His presence, pursuing His presence, bringing His presence." Did you know that if you can have the presence of God and the glory of God in a church, you won't have to go through all that work people go through to try to get people to be saved. They'll come to church. In the 1858 revival, sailors on ships would come into the harbor where that revival was going on and fall to their knees in repentance. I could tell you all kinds of stories like that. Instead of us trying so hard to get people to come to Jesus, why don't we just come to Jesus? Then when we have His glory, when we have His presence, you'll just look around someday and you'll say, "Where did these people come from?" They came because it's supernatural. The glory of God draws people. They don't even have to hear a story. They don't even know why they're coming. And the Lord really spoke to me. He's spoken to me very clearly that the most important thing I do is to work as a custodian of the presence of God. Give myself to embrace the reality of it, to do everything that we can to steward the thing that He has given to us, which is His presence, which comes out of prayer and worship. It's the most precious and powerful thing on earth, the presence of God. And I'll tell you something else. That word about you don't really know what you got because you're still in the building of it, that fits very much with what I'm talking to you about. Because if you're a part of what God wants to do, when you really see it in its fullness, it's going to be beautiful out of this world. But right now, you're being a part of the building of it. And this is wonderful. We give ourselves to this, and we declare ourselves to be, by God's great grace, a place of His presence, and that's what we're about, that it's the most important thing that we're called to do, that we give ourselves to Him. Would you stand in His presence for a moment? I want to pray for you this morning because I really felt that the Lord was speaking this to me when we prayed. But I also felt it in the worship service that the Lord wants you to know that He is about this business now of coming among us. And then, Ed, you know, maybe you play that song again, when he walks into the room, that one, when you walk in the room. Church, I want you to develop the mentality that from time to time, you are going to know, you're going to know when he walks into the room. And when you know, when you realize that, give yourself to it. Just give yourself to that. Let's walk away. And it's one of the things that Brother Kilpatrick said in his book. He said, when the Lord begins to warm you a little bit, just stay with what you're doing and let him just take those coals from coals up to, into a fire. In other words, if he likes what's happening, then he begins to warm you just a little bit more. And you begin to feel that. One of the most important things about the presence of God is not to be in a hurry. If you get real hungry, why don't you just eat a little more before you come into church? Eat an extra banana. Do anything. Anything so that you won't be distracted and say, you know that's the enemy, don't you? Working through your flesh. Saying, oh, you don't need to linger here in the presence of God. That's nonsense. But you really do. We need that more than we need to take the next breath. But I want to tell you something. God's moving again. He's doing this. I was glad for the confirmation from the ministers who visited with us that they could sense what God is doing in our midst. So what I want us to do now is that if you... I just would like for you to lift your hands because I believe there's real power in making fresh surrenders to the Lord. And by lifting our hands, we just sing, Lord, we've heard what you had to say to us today. We heard it. We heard you. And by your great grace, Lord, we're going to move out of the distractions. I mean, we're going to begin to see what it is you're saying to us. We want to get everything out of the way that's hindering. And Lord, we want to give ourselves to this thing. We want to set, as Augustine said, we want to set our righteousness in order. Whatever things that are not right, we want to make them right now. Whatever you've been speaking to us about, we felt a little conviction here and now. We say, I'm not going to hold on to that any longer. I just release that to you, Lord, because I want to please you. Lord, I want my life to be a pleasant experience for you. I want it to be that you enjoy my life as much as I enjoy you, Jesus. And I just ask you, Lord, as I extend my hands to you, do it again. Just touch me again. Touch me afresh and anew, Lord. I am your yielded vessel. I want to be a part of a church and a movement that has the glory of God and reveres and honors and pursues and presses in after his presence, because I realize this is everything. And Lord, we want to see the fires of revival blaze up out of this house. And we know that that's real. And so we stand here right now to prepare that place, to prepare that. Lord, we declare that we're a house of prayer. We declare that we're a house of worship in spirit and in truth. And I declare I'm a part of it, Lord. And I just say, Lord, that atmosphere that you want, that's what we want. I thank you that you inhabit the praises of your people. Yes. Now we understand all these things. And we say the enemy is not going to cause us to be bystanders. And we are going to be a part of this wonderful thing you're doing. And Lord, give us revelation now by the Holy Ghost. So that now and every time we gather, we can come to a knowing when you walk into the room. And we surrender and yield ourselves to you, Jesus. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, when you walk into the room, Jesus. Jesus, walk among us. Walk among us today, Lord. Meet us. Nothing like it. Jesus.